It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are again interrupting our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard the state had seen a total of 3,458 people ever test positive for the coronavirus here in Arkansas, and 81 people who have died from COVID-19. The latest update from the health department shows a total of 3,469 cases, an increase of 11 new cases from yesterday. But the number of deaths shown on the health department's website is 80. That is actually a decrease of one. It's unclear what that is due to, perhaps maybe a case that was erroneously included. Anyway, we will hear more from Governor Asa Hutchinson. We go live to him now. This is KYR 89.1.
See you. Thank you for joining me for this afternoon's COVID-19 update to bring you the latest news in reference to the challenge that we face as a state and a nation. I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Nate Smith, our Secretary of Health, and also Stacy Hurst, our Secretary of Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism. First, I'll just mention that today I did sign the proclamation, the new executive order that extends the emergency for an additional 45 days. Now, what this means is that we're not yet finished with our work. We still have an emergency situation in Arkansas and across our nation that everyone is familiar with, and so my first emergency order was set to expire May 21. I'm extending it for 45 days. I did have authority under the law to extend it for 60 days. I chose not to do that, but to give us a measuring point 45 days later, I think it'll be a good time to reflect on where we are and whether we have to have any further extensions of the emergency order. Obviously, we hope not, and we'd like to get back to normal, but I extended it for 45 days. What this means also is that all of the directives that we've previously issued are incorporated and reaffirmed through this latest proclamation that I'm issuing today. In terms of the case update, yesterday we had 3,458 cases. Today we have an additional 38 cases. That brings us to 3,496. We have 89 hospitalizations, which is down 2, and we have today 83 deaths. We conducted 1,270 tests, which is a small amount down. Dr. Smith is indicating this is probably just a lag from over the weekend and Sunday. Not very many of the commercial tests are done. In terms of the new cases of 38, we did have 4 in the Correctional Institute. And with that, let me go to the chart. These are the number of new COVID-19 cases, which reflects that we're still on the right trajectory, even though when you get down to less than 50, it's going to fluctuate, obviously. If you go to the next slide, you see the 7-day rolling average of new cases in Arkansas. The orange drawing line indicates the 7-day rolling average, which is on the right trajectory again, and we've consistently been on that. In terms of the hospitalizations, we have, about 80, 90 that's hospitalized right now. That's on the right trajectory, at least it's on a plateau right now. And so if we go to the next slide, this is just a interesting slide that's for comparative purposes. This is, the source is the CDC out of Atlanta, and this reflects the states by color, shows it's the total number of new COVID cases reported over the last 7 days. And so this is the lightest color would be no new cases, and this is 1 to 100 would be the color, and then 100 to 1,000 and so on. The darker ones are the higher level of new cases. As you can see, Arkansas is in the lightest color there, if I can interpret it right, which is 1 to 100 over the last 7 days. Of course, this is measuring cases, and you can say, well, we're not testing enough to determine our new cases, but this is comparative also. So over the last 7 days, comparatively, our new cases have been on the decline, even though our testing has gone up during that time. And for the fun of it, if you go to the next slide, this was really initiated our review of this because CNN posted this snapshot, and this went for the past 14 days comparatively. And of course, Arkansas is green, which are the there's 15 states that are going down in the number of cases, and you can see those 15 states. We're really the only, us in Florida is the only southern state that's in that category. 15 is in the yellow color, which is remaining about the same. They're flat. And then 20 of the states you can see are going up. And so we just wanted to share that information, a different look that we have in terms of how we're comparing. We might be getting back to our SEC comparison in the next couple of days. Thank you for that. I did want to make one announcement today. Today, the restriction for recreational travelers, which has been previously prohibited for out-of-state recreational travelers, that restriction is lifted for non-hotspot states from across the country. And so the hotspots currently have been defined as New York, New Orleans, New Jersey, and Connecticut. But the directive that I signed today, the extension, gave the Secretary of Health the ability to, by directive, redetermine where the hot spots are. And so this can be adjusted. And that's what we want to avoid, is our out-of-state recreational travelers that are coming from hot spots into Arkansas. And that this gives the Secretary of Health the ability to toggle that or change that as needed based upon current developments. If you return from a hot spot anywhere in the country to Arkansas, or if you want to visit here from a hot spot, then you are expected to self-quarantine for 14 days. That obviously will limit those that might be expecting to come in here from that area. The objective that we're trying to accomplish is to allow our hotel and lodges to extend occupancy to those who may come to Arkansas from our neighboring states. And we have, by tradition, particularly this time of the year, our guests that come from surrounding states, and many of those have low numbers. They're not accelerating, they're not hot spots, and that's a very important part of their life in terms of being able to visit Arkansas. I also wanted to provide a comment on our economic situation here in the state. Yesterday, we had our monthly revenue report, which indicated that the state revenue was down 28.3% from the same time a year ago. But to put this in perspective, we did revise the forecast knowing that we would have a downturn in our revenue. But considering the national economic downturn, I'm very pleased with a revenue forecast that indicates that our revenues beat the projection. And so after our revised forecast, we actually beat that revision, which indicates that while our economy has taken a hit, it has not taken the same nosedive that we have seen in some other states. And I hope that we can maintain that appropriate emphasis on public safety here in Arkansas, but also make sure that we're able to do our business to the extent that we can, and that we don't simply shut down our economy totally. And with that, let me invite Secretary Smith to make his comments.
This is Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health, Dr. Nate Smith.
Thank you, Governor, and thanks for sharing really the good news that we have in terms of our progress up to this point. I'd like to give a few more details about our numbers, then comment on a couple of things I've been hearing about. As the governor mentioned, we have 38 new cases. Of those, four are from correctional facilities. And so we have 34 cases that we would consider to be community. Our total case count, as the governor said, is 3,496. Of those, 1,364 are considered active cases. As the governor mentioned, we have 89 patients who are currently hospitalized. That's a net decrease of 2 from yesterday. We have 16 on ventilators. That's the same as yesterday. And we have 83 deaths, which is a gain of 2 from yesterday's report. We have 2,050 who are classified as recovered. That's an increase of 34 from yesterday. I'd like to give a little bit of an update on our nursing homes and on our correctional facilities. For nursing homes, we currently have 45 facilities with one or more cases among residents and or staff. We are following those carefully. We have a total of 261 residents of nursing homes that are COVID-19 positive. That's up 16 from yesterday. And we have 148 staff. That's up 1 from yesterday. We have a total of 32 deaths from nursing home residents. That's up 1 from yesterday. For our correctional facilities, we have in the Cummins unit, we have a total of 876 inmates who have tested positive for COVID-19, and that's an increase of 3 from yesterday. We are doing some additional testing of barracks that were previously negative because one or more individuals have developed symptoms and tested positive there. So we may have some additional cases from the Cummins unit, but we're monitoring that carefully. For the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City, we now have a total of 264 cases. That's up 92 from yesterday. Those 92 have not yet appeared in our report. They're not yet in our system, but they will in the next few days. They're continuing to do testing there, and they will begin testing staff as well. In terms of other issues, I've been hearing a lot from folks about swimming pools. And swimming is a good thing. We want people to swim, especially as the weather gets warmer. We will be adjusting our directive for gyms to allow for the lap lane pools to be used. And we will also be working on our guidelines and directive for recreational pools, and we'll have more information on that later this week. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
And of course, interpreting what Dr. Smith said, actually, it didn't take much interpretation. It was pretty clear that in the next couple of days, you're going to see a spike in cases as a result of the increased testing that's happening at the FCI, Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City, as well as the continued testing that we're doing at Cummins. We're going to watch that very carefully, but as I indicated, I like what our Department of Health is doing in terms of focused testing. Whenever we see a potential hotspot, to make sure we have a good handle on it, we can do everything we can to make sure it doesn't convert to a community spread, as well as to maintain it within the facility with the proper health care. But I think you can probably see that in the next couple of days, an increase in those cases. With that, let me recognize Secretary Hurst to make a comment about the lodging industry.
This is Stacy Hurst, Secretary of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism.
Thank you, Governor. The lifting of restrictions on out-of-state travelers coming into Arkansas will be welcome news for the hotel and lodging industry. It's an industry within the state and nation that has been particularly hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. As an industry, they have strong protocols in place to follow to protect guests as well as their staff. They've been incredibly cooperative throughout this public health emergency, and we thank them for working alongside us, and we are excited about this news for them. Within the Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism, let me say that we will work to get this message out to our stakeholders broadly and clearly, and we will certainly be available to answer any questions that they have. We'll also change our state parks lodging approach that we had announced previously, and we will incorporate this new directive and allow, as appropriate, for our out-of-state travelers to come to state parks for overnight visits. Thank you, Governor. I appreciate it.
One thing this makes it very clear in Arkansas is how much people appreciate our state parks and miss them when they're not available, and I know they're anxious to have access to them to the fullest extent. So, Secretary Harris, thank you for your leadership and all of those that are with our park system. With that, we'll be happy to take any questions.
I guess what are the criteria that we're going to use to define what a hot spot is for out of state?
For out of state?
Yeah.
I'll let Secretary Smith comment on that. One, they're well publicized in terms of our national media, and I don't know that there's a technical definition of it. But it's certainly an increasing number of cases, but it'd be something that would be a concern to us. Dr. Smith?
This is Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
What I'm really looking for are places that the risk of COVID-19 is higher. So places where we have lots of cases, there are a lot of different places to find that information. One of the easiest is the Johns Hopkins University site. It has the circles where there are lots of cases, and just looking at the map, you can tell areas where people are more likely to be exposed to COVID-19. What we're really concerned about is people who may be coming from those areas who are infected but maybe not symptomatic yet, and they can pass on COVID-19 without even knowing about it, or they may arrive here and then develop symptoms. Those are things we would like to avoid. So in those cases, we would put into place the 14-day self-quarantine so that if they develop symptoms while they're here, they will not have exposed people in our state. As you can see from the governor's graphs, we're kind of an island of lower risk. And so it's important that we welcome our neighbors from other states, but we also need to protect our people here from increased risk of exposure from people traveling from those areas where it's a higher risk.
As this thing ebbs and flows, how do you get on or off this hotspot list that we're going to have?
Right. Now, some of these places like New York City, New Orleans, there's lots of cases. It's going to take a while, even though they're in a downward trajectory. There's still a lot of the virus circulating in those communities. So it will be a while before they come down off of that. And it's not an exact science, I will say. But we'll be looking at new places where we see increases and make sure that we're putting safeguards in place. And then very cautiously take those off when it's clear that the risk is really not much higher than other places in the country.
Can you tell us about some of the protocols the lodges and hotels will be putting into place?
Well, Secretary Smith, do you want to address that?
This is Parks, Heritage, and Tourism Secretary Stacey Hurst.
Smith may be better than Hurst, but I will tell you that I have received a lot of, for example, the nationally branded hotels have developed protocols that they are implementing throughout their system, throughout their franchise system. Within state parks, we have an extensive protocol that we've developed in terms of sanitization of rooms. Our staff is wearing PPE as appropriate. And I'm happy to gather some of those and share with you, but they typically follow the guidelines that the Department of Health provides as well as CDC.
Yes.
As more out-of-state travelers come into our state and as more park services open up, how are parks equipped to manage crowd sizes?
Of course, first of all, we have this every year, so the parks are equipped to handle those that come in to enjoy our parks, but also other facilities here in the state. But during this time, I've asked our Parks, Heritage, and Tourism to be attentive to the crowd sizes. If we see a gathering of people that does not meet our requirements, that are not socially distancing, I would like to see a communication to them saying you all need to do better, a reminder as to our expectation level. So it's an assistance to the traveler and reminder that we're still in a health emergency that they need to pay attention to. Back on the question that was asked before in terms of the hotspots, I will say our design is not to add more areas as hotspots. I hope we won't have to, because if you look at the national trends, there's most of the cases are flat, most of the states are flat or declining. And so I'm hopeful that if our nation stays in the right trajectory, we'll be taking places off of hotspots versus adding them.
If things are reopening, though, you're bound to see some flare-ups. I just wonder what the baseline or what's the certain criteria. Is it new cases? Is it positivity rates? Kind of what are we looking at? Because obviously if you have a bigger population, you know, some of those numbers are just going to be higher.
I think Dr. Smith answered that, that it's partly science, but partly a sense as to whether they'd be a risk for them to come in without having a 14-day quarantine. Yes.
I think Dr. Smith said there were 94 new cases at four cities. So just wondering if the idea, the reason for that increase, like all of a sudden.
Well, I'll answer it because I can be more blunt. The CDC and the Department of the U.S. Bureau of Prisons is going in there and finally doing the testing that we'd like to have seen done before. And particularly of the staff. The staff needed to be tested. And that's within their jurisdiction and their control. Our Department of Health has advised them of the need for this. We've done this at Cummins. So I'm delighted that they are taking this initiative, but that's the reason for that increase in results or increase in tests is that the CDC is coming there to do that. Is there anyone remotely today?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Andrew with AP. Wanted to ask about Cummins. The Department of Correction has said that it's allowed staff who have tested positive but are asymptomatic to work at the Cummins unit. Wanted to ask you about that policy. I guess also Dr. Smith, the rationale behind that policy. And any concerns about impact that has, and any idea whether or not that's contributed at all to the outbreak at Cummins. And additionally, want to see if you all had numbers on how many more tests are you conducting at Cummins?
How many more tests to be conducted? In terms of the guards that might have tested positive, it's my understanding that they would only be guarding a barracks in which the inmates have tested positive. And so they've protected it against any additional exposure of those that might have tested negative. And so those precautions are in place, and certainly they're logical that would protect their health. Dr. Smith?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
The guidance that the Arkansas Department of Health provided to the Arkansas Department of Corrections had to do with situations where you had critical shortages of workers. Our first choice, of course, would be if someone tests positive for COVID-19 and they're a worker there, that they would be isolated at home until they've recovered. There are some cases, though, where they have some critical shortages of staff, is my understanding. And obviously, being short-staffed in a maximum security unit brings about its own dangers. And so there's balancing risks there. In cases where there is a worker who has tested positive but has no symptoms, we have provided guidance about how they would basically come from home, not encounter anyone except other staff who were working in those positive barracks. Those barracks where inmates have tested positive and are wearing full PPE, so that there would be a minimal risk of exposure to anyone else. Obviously, that's not the ideal. The ideal would be for them to isolate at home, but in situations where the risks of them doing that would be greater than the risks of them coming in under those situations, we've allowed for that. We've allowed for similar provisions for some nursing homes as well, where a critical shortage of staff could lead to health issues and dangers for the residents. With careful safeguards to prevent contact between that positive individual and anyone who's not already infected.
And the second part of the question, I think, was on the number of tests.
Right. At Cummins, there are two additional barracks where we are testing, so that's approximately 100 individuals. Obviously, we will we'll do testing wherever we think it's needed to identify cases so that we can stop the spread of COVID-19, but at this time, it's two barracks in particular that previously tested negative, but we've had cases there, so we're going to retest them.
Another question remotely.
Governor,
yes.
This is Clarissa from Chambersburg.
I hear the lady, and then we'll go to the gentleman.
Governor Hutchinson, an indoor music venue in the River Valley says it's planning a concert for May 15th, 3 days before your open date. What punishments could they be facing for this, and who is in charge of enforcing these directives?
Well, the Department of Health is in charge of enforcing directives. It is generally based upon a complaint or a concern expressed by a citizen that causes them to review it and to investigate it. Usually they resolve these by conversation because generally the community and the individuals want to do the right thing. I'm not familiar with that specific concert. I would encourage them to contact the Department of Health and to make sure that there's a clear understanding as to what the requirements are, and if there's any way that we can give advice as to how they should conduct that or the limits on it, then the Department of Health is very, very good about being responsive on that. Did you have anything to add? I think you do.
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
I agree with everything the governor has said. When we hear about these, and we'll definitely follow up on this one, we'll work usually with local authorities. We in public health tend to be rather peaceful people, and we don't carry firearms for the most part. So we do depend on local law enforcement, and when that's not possible, we've got a good working relationship with the Arkansas State Police as well. So usually it doesn't require that level of enforcement. Usually it's a conversation, and people are willing to adjust their plans to keep it as safe for the people that they're serving.
And the gentleman on the line.
Yes, Governor, this is James White at the newspaper up in Harrison. I did a story a couple of weeks ago about the Buffalo National River. Some people have been posting on social media that they hope they could go floating again soon after the state started opening up again May 4th. Park Service reps at the time said the river was still as closed as it was before, but they said they had been working on a plan to reopen the river when it became safe again. They also said your recommendation weighed heavily on their decision to close the river. Have you given thought to any kind of recommendation about the river yet? And are you being lobbied by legislators or people from this area regarding such a recommendation? And for Dr. Smith, there were two fewer hospitalizations and two more deaths today. Is there a correlation there?
Thank you. That's an excellent question. And first of all, we work closely with the National Park Service, and I recognize that, first of all, you cannot restrict the national park to Arkansas visitors or those that are in surrounding states even. So once you open up the national park, it is open to all that might be coming in. But I do expect there to be more discussions about the opening of the national park in the coming week. And I know that there is a desire to open that up again, and it's natural, and the public wants to have access to it. We just want to be able to suggest the right time to the National Park Service. And obviously with us lifting the tough restriction on out-of-state recreational travelers and easing that to a certain extent, then it's logical that we'll be able to reevaluate also the Buffalo River and its access as well. So we'll keep you posted on that. Dr. Smith, there was another question to you.
Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
The observation was that we had a net decrease of 2 in hospitalizations and 2 additional deaths. I've abbreviated somewhat. When I say there's a net decrease, that means that there are people admitted to the hospital and there are people being released. I used to give all those numbers, but I have received some feedback that probably I even still am giving too many numbers for some, too few for others. From yesterday to today, we actually had 4 people newly admitted to the hospital. So the net decrease of 2 means that 6 were released from the hospital. I don't have the details on these 2 deaths, but I believe that both of them were in a hospital. So those would be 2 of the 6 who are no longer counted in the currently hospitalized. But that would mean that 4 others were discharged.
Had any discussions with the Secretary of State about reopening the Capitol, and any thoughts about when that should happen?
I have not had that discussion with the Secretary of State. I do hope that that's a direction that we can move in the future. It should be noted that under Phase 1, telecommuting is still encouraged for those who can do it, and so I think it's understandable while we're in Phase 1 that if they can do it by telecommuting, that's a good option for them. But if they're more effective working out of the Capitol, as I am and some of my staff, the Capitol should be open to them. So I know that'll be evaluated as we get closer to a Phase 2 position. Yes?
Our contact tracing, this is probably more for Dr. Smith, are we seeing any specific reasoning why people are still contracting this virus, or is there any, I guess, common factor?
People aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Dr. Smith.
Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Well, we do know how this is transmitted. It's a highly communicable virus. As I've said before, there's really very few viruses that we have ever come across that are as easily communicable as COVID-19. Dr. Fauci mentioned measles. Measles is also a highly communicable virus. We have a vaccine for measles, though, whereas we don't yet for the virus that causes COVID-19. In terms of our contact tracing, a little over a third of our new cases are not part of our contact tracing, so we don't know exactly where they got it from until we do a case investigation. The good news is that almost two-thirds of them we do. They are either a traveler or someone who's been in contact with a known case. But we really need to do better with our contact tracing to where we are able to account for a higher proportion of our new cases. I really would like that to be down to less than 10%. So we have a ways to go, but we're working on that.
Yes.
Dr. Smith, you mentioned coming out with guidelines for recreational pools later this week. Are you suggesting that neighborhood pools will be able to open under certain guidelines this summer?
We are the issue of recreational pools, like neighborhood pools. We're looking at that very carefully. We, as with all of our reopening activities, we'd like to get back as close to normal as quickly, but also as safely as possible. So my team of physicians and others are looking at that, looking at guidance provided from other sources, and seeing what we can do to try and get at least some of those pools open at some level with restrictions, if we can do that safely in time for people to enjoy the summer. Again, being outside and swimming, these are all good activities, if we can do them in a way that does not facilitate the spread of COVID-19.
Has there been any change in the policy towards state employees in terms of whether they should work from home or if they should be in the office?
We're reevaluating that and hope to increase the productivity and the availability of coming in to work. And so I just met with our chief of staff, and I know Secretary Fetcher is working on that guidance that will increase the opportunity for the state workers to work in their workplace. And we're looking at the same type of protocols that we're asking private sector businesses to undergo, which would be social distancing, wearing of masks if necessary, and also we're looking at the proper screening each day as they come in.
Is it still pretty much you should work from home if you are able to do that?
It is at this moment, and we'll look at some adjustment to that in the coming weeks. One last question here, then we'll see if there's anything else remote.
Dr. Smith, I know you guys are going to release some guidance on team sports, but there's been a lot of confusion when it comes to practices. I didn't know if you had any guidance for that or if that kind of falls into the outdoor restriction banner or not.
The answer is yes. It falls into the current restrictions that we have in place for outdoor venues. Whenever we evaluate it the latter part of May, then we will consider the team sports, and which will also include team-type practices. Beyond that, it is the current restrictions on indoor activities or outdoor limitations. Dr. Smith?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
With the team sports, it's not so much the athletes for many of these sports, you know, except if it's something that requires very close contact, like wrestling or something of that sort. It's really more the concern of the spectators and the concession stand and all these other opportunities for people to pass COVID-19 to one another. And so in terms of practices, those are less of a concern, although they need to follow those guidelines for physical distancing, hand washing, et cetera. In terms of the games themselves, that we're going to have to give some additional guidance on.
Let's take one last question if there's another question remotely.
Hey, Governor.
All right, I heard the lady first. I heard the lady first, then we'll go to the gentleman.
Thanks, Governor. My question is regarding the pandemic unemployment assistance program. We talked to a gentleman who is self-employed through Uber and Lyft, and he applied for the program on Friday and received a response. Check back in 2 days to see when his application is processed. He's been checking in and calling the hotline. He hasn't gotten anywhere. So my question is, when will people like him and others who are self-employed receive the money?
That website went live this morning at 8 a.m., I believe. And so it should be live right now. He needs to go back and look to enter his information into the system, and hopefully he'll get results soon. Let's take the gentleman's question as the last question.
Governor, good afternoon. Thank you. Two quick questions. One is, with all the charts that you show, would it be instructive to have a chart going forward that shows the number of active cases so we could see that trajectory? And the other question is about the unemployment insurance. When all of this started, you mentioned the strength of our unemployment trust fund. The Wall Street Journal just reported that both California and Illinois are getting loans from the federal government. Is our trust fund still in good shape?
Our trust fund is, in terms of our unemployment insurance, is still in good shape. It's probably too early to evaluate it in the long term, but we have a very robust system. Obviously, if it drained down to a certain level, we have to have it refunded, but we're not going to be in the same position as California or Illinois. Our system is very robust. We're going to take care of those that have that need of unemployment insurance. And your other idea on the recovered cases, I think our active cases, that's a very good idea. We'll see if we can't share that in the coming days. With that, I want to thank my crew that works every day at this and has been faithful at this for the last 45 days. Jeremy and Anthony, thank you all for your hard work on this every day. Thank you all.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief update on what we heard today. The state has a total of 3,496 total cases of the coronavirus. Excuse me, that is an increase of 38 additional cases from yesterday. 83 people have died from COVID-19 in the state. That is an increase of 2 deaths from yesterday, one of which Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith says was a resident of a nursing home. We heard that of the 38 additional cases of the coronavirus identified from yesterday to today, 4 of those were from correctional institutions, correctional facilities in the state. The 2 largest outbreaks within the prison system, at least the state prison system, we have seen the largest outbreak in the Cummins unit. That's a maximum security state prison near Pine Bluff. The latest update, 876 inmates at the Cummins unit have tested positive for the virus. That is an additional 3 inmates. Since yesterday, Health Secretary Smith said that his team from the health department are testing 2 barracks at the Cummins unit that previously people had tested negative in, but inmates had started to develop symptoms there. So Smith saying that he expects to see more cases arising from the Cummins unit where, again, 876 inmates have tested positive. I believe it is 5 inmates who have passed away from COVID-19 who were previously housed at the Cummins unit. The Federal Correctional Institution in Forest City over in eastern Arkansas, we heard, had a drastic spike in cases. We heard that 92 new inmates have tested positive, I should say, at that federal prison over there in Forest City. That brings the total number of infections there to 264. So that is a drastic spike in cases at the Federal Correctional Institution over there in Forest City. We heard Health Secretary Smith saying that that spike and the total number of cases at that prison is not completely included in the state's tally of total coronavirus cases, hence why we are seeing that cases do continue sort of a downward trend here in Arkansas. That is because we are not including cases from the Cummins unit and the Federal Correctional Institution in Forest City. We heard Governor Hutchinson say a little bit about why he thinks that is, why he thinks there is a kind of an outbreak happening at the Federal Correctional Institution. He said that the state has been doing testing at the Cummins unit because it's a state prison, because this is a federal prison. It is under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Bureau of Prisons, as well as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Hutchinson's voicing a little bit of dissatisfaction there, saying that those two governmental entities are finally getting around to doing the testing that he would have liked to have seen done as many as 2 or 3 weeks ago when the first case of the coronavirus was identified in that federal prison. But again, the total number of cases all in all in Arkansas, 3,496 cases of the coronavirus, 83 people who have died from COVID-19. Of the 3,496 total cases, 1,364 are considered active. Again, you've been listening to the governor's latest update on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR. Tune in for All Things Considered this afternoon and morning edition for a more in-depth analysis of what we heard in today's briefing. And of course, tune in tomorrow afternoon for the governor's latest daily briefing on the COVID-19 pandemic. You're listening to KUAR News.